Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul. Friends,
welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevins Welder.
Proverbs chapter 6, verses 16 to 19. Proverbs chapter 6, verses 16 to 19. Seven things that the Lord hates. You say, the Lord hates? I thought the Lord was a God of love. He is, but he hates some things. And we're going to see what those are today. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 16. Let's read. These six things doth the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination unto him: a proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood, an heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that be swift in running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among brethren. Seven things. Now, the way it's worded, you know, you may ask yourself the question, why does it say these six things doth the Lord hate, yea, seven are abomination unto him? Because you can find 8 and 9 and 10 and 11. He's just going to give you six. No, it's like, you know, I can think of three reasons why I like to fish. Well, four, actually, and then I'll give you four, and I could give you four more and four more than that. So that's just the way it is with this list here. He's going to give you seven that he's going to mention here, but he could mention more if he had to. Also, it's interesting because when he says six things and then he says seven things, two of these are very similar. The lying tongue, which is the second thing, and the false witness that speaketh lies, which is the sixth thing, are very similar. Okay, now, first of all, what we want to recognize is this. God hates some things. He says here, these six things doth the Lord hate. So though God is a God of love, he is also a God of hate. But you don't hear that much because that's not savory. People don't like to hear that part of that side of God. And notice that it's not just things. I mean, a proud look is something. You know, they say God hates the sin but loves the sinner. Well, a proud look is something that is a thing, a lying tongue, a thing, hands, heart, feet, things. But look at verse 19. He hates a false witness. A false witness is a person. And he hates that soweth discord among brethren. That's a person. So make sure you understand something as we go into this. It's not just a matter of hating the sin. It's also a matter of hating the sinner. Now, just to be sure of it, so that you don't freak out and flip totally out of your seat while you hear this, because that may not be something that you've heard before, but you can certainly, if you think about it, you can certainly believe that it's true, and you can see it when we check some cross-references. And the whole message is not about God hating sinners, but let me give you a couple of verses so you'll know that what he said in Proverbs chapter 6 is, in fact, something directed to people as well as sins. For instance, in Psalm 5, verse 5, Psalm 5, verse 5. Listen to it very carefully. Psalm 5, verse 5. The foolish shall not stand in thy sight. Thou hatest all workers of iniquity. He didn't say thou hatest all works of iniquity. He said thou hatest all workers of iniquity. That's people. In Romans chapter 9, verse 13, Paul is quoting from the Old Testament, which in the Old Testament he would be quoting from Malachi chapter 1, verses 2 and 3. But in Romans chapter 9, verse 13, Paul says, as it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. We say, well, when Jesus Christ died on the cross, didn't he take care of his hatred for people? Well, he reconciled the world to himself, according to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, when Jesus Christ died on the cross. But the Bible says God so loved the world in one hand, and then in the other hand, the Bible says whosoever will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. So God is an enemy of the world on one hand, and love the world on the other hand. That's what causes people the trouble about figuring out where God is on these things. Well, let me just tell you. Since he reconciled the world to himself in Jesus Christ, you and I that are saved, according to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20, we are ambassadors to tell them about the reconciliation, about the fact that the death of Jesus Christ on the cross allowed them as enemies to become friends and children of God. But the Bible says if they reject Jesus Christ, then the wrath of God abides on them. John chapter 3, verse 36. The wrath of God abides on them. It's on it now. It says, the wrath of God abideth on them right now. It says that when we're saved, we don't come into condemnation, but according to John chapter 3, verses 17 and 18, when a person rejects Jesus Christ, they're condemned already. In other words, they don't have to wait to die, and they don't have to wait to be judged to find their condemnation. They're condemned already. And if God's already condemned them and the wrath of God abideth on them, then you know what? It's not just a matter of hating the sin. It's a matter of hating the sinner. But when the sinner comes to Jesus Christ and gets saved, then he can say, like John said in 1 John chapter 4, verse 19, you know what he said? He said, we love him because he first loved us. Now, God already demonstrated his love at Calvary, and he will extend that love when you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. In the meantime, if he's putting up with you, that's not love, that's long-suffering. He's just putting up with you. People have a hard time with that, but that's Bible. I gave you enough references there. You can check that on your own. You can read more Bible, and you see that it's so. He'll save you the moment you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior and extend his love to you that moment. He'll fill you with the Spirit, and the fruit of the Spirit is love. Joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. You get all those when you get Jesus Christ. In the meantime, if you're not with the Lord Jesus Christ, then you're on the bad side of God. And you're not getting a free ride. You're simply being tolerated until you come to Christ. And if you never come to Christ, then, you know what? Whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. That's not what somebody does to somebody that he loves. Now, here's the deal. There are seven things in this passage that God hates. Number one, the proud look. And that's found in verse 17 of Proverbs chapter 6. He hates the proud look. And you know why? Because he's looking for humility. He will abase the proud and he will exalt the humble. He's looking for humility. Pride goeth before a fall. And the proud look, when God sees it, reminds him of the devil. In Isaiah chapter 14 and in Ezekiel chapter 28, we read about the devil. In Isaiah chapter 14, you know it's the devil because it says so. He's called Lucifer in Isaiah chapter 14, verse 12. And in verse 13, Lucifer said in his heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. And the Lord says in verse 15, yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. You see, God hates that kind of thing because the devil exalted himself, and the Lord said, no, you won't. You'll ride that thing for about 6,000 years, and then I'm going to put you down like a bad habit. In Ezekiel chapter 28, Ezekiel chapter 28, verse 17, the Lord says about the devil, and here he's addressing him as the prince of Tyrus, but it's the devil that he's talking about. You can tell that by reading the context. Because he was a cherub, and he covered the throne, and he was in the garden of God. And we know the devil was in the garden of God because he tempted Eve there. And he said in Ezekiel chapter 28, verse 17, thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Look what happened to him. Thy heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. That's the proud look. That's the kind of thing you see associated with all of this media attention to superstars and idols and movie stars and sports figures. They promote that kind of thing. Thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. And you know what the Lord said? I'll cast thee to the ground. I will lay thee before kings that thou may behold, that they may behold thee. The Lord's not into that thing at all. As a matter of fact, he says clearly for you in Proverbs chapter 21, verse 4, that that kind of look is a sin. I don't know if you knew that. Proverbs chapter 21, verse 4. Watch it. An high look and a proud heart and the plowing of the wicked is sin. So a high look and a proud heart, that's sin. And God said, I hate it. It's not a matter of just putting up with it. I hate it. H-A-T-E does not spell L-O-V-E. Hate is hate and love is love, and he doesn't love a proud look. So if you see it, then you know if you see that proud look, either on your own face in the mirror or on somebody else's face, that God ain't for that thing at all. Secondly, God hates a lying tongue. In Proverbs chapter 6, verse 17, a lying tongue. And that also is something that comes from the devil, and the Pharisees had it. The Pharisees had it, and I'm telling you, the Lord was grieved with it. He spent John chapter 8 talking to those Pharisees, and by the time he got down to verse 44, he told them straight. He said, you are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. Now, because the devil infiltrated our race by deceiving our great, 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 many, many generations' grandmother, Eve, and she persuaded her husband Adam to eat the fruit, we all got a curse, and one of the things that comes along with that curse is that we've got the same problems that the devil had when it comes to telling the truth. The Bible says in Romans chapter 3, verse 4, God forbid, watch it, Romans chapter 3, verse 4, God forbid, yea, let God be true, but every man a liar. There it is. The devil said to Eve, thou shalt not surely die. Didn't say you won't die. It just said it's not a sure thing. It was a sure thing. God said, in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. And Eve neglected to believe what God had said to her husband Adam, and so she fell for the lie that the devil told when he said, thou shalt not surely die. And she did. And so do we as a result of that. And the Lord, therefore, hates a lying tongue. He wants you to tell the truth. Paul said, when you put on the new man and take off the old man, he said, lie not one to another. Put lying away from thee. Quit lying. You're supposed to tell the truth. Now, you may not think that God would send a man to hell or to the lake of fire simply for lying, particularly if the lie was expedient. In other words, he had to tell it sort of, make things work out his way. Let me tell you something. God hates lying so much that he's going to send liars straight into the lake of fire. Look at Revelation 21:8. But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters, watch it, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. You see that? God threw liars in there with idolaters, sorcerers, whoremongers, murderers, abominable, fearful, and unbelieving. And he said, I'm going to throw you into the lake of fire. You know why he'll do that? Because he hates lying. Something else God hates. The third thing is hands that shed innocent blood. That's also found in verse 17 of Proverbs chapter 6. Hands that shed innocent blood. Now you take these guys today that are suicide bombers that are going into these cafes and getting on these buses, and these guys that flew these jets into the World Trade Center or into the Pentagon or into Pennsylvania dirt. You take these guys and you take those innocent lives that were taken. And they say, we're doing this for God, and they want you to believe that their God, Allah, and your God, Jehovah or the same God. That's what they want you to believe. Let me tell you something. Look carefully at what you're reading here in Proverbs chapter 6, verse 17. God hates hands that shed innocent blood. So, if these men are doing this because they're zealous for what they've read in the Quran, and zealous for their God, and they're shedding innocent blood, then let me tell you something. They are hated by the very God that they think they're serving. Now, I know they've justified it in their own minds that what they're doing is the right thing because they're going to say, well, you're not innocent. We're killing you for a good reason. Let me tell you something. An unarmed civilian in any country simply trying to make a living to pay bills to take care of his family or her family is not a one of these types of folks here that is a good target for a suicide bomber to justify himself in saying that this was justified because these people were so wicked. God hates the shedding of innocent blood. Not only that, he hates murderers. Absolutely. Now, I realize that he let David off the hook, but the right punishment in the Old Testament for murder was the death penalty. We don't have that as much anymore. And by the time somebody is executed for murder, they've gone through 10 years of trials and appeals and negotiations and attempts to get out of it. But murderers in the Old Testament faced the death penalty. And in the New Testament, Paul said when he was on trial, if I have done anything worthy of death, I refuse not to die. He upheld the death penalty. God said that he hated murderers. Now, the problem with a lot of this is we don't take the same view as people that God takes on things, and we allow stuff to go that God doesn't allow. We take an opposite view in the world from God. Here in the world, we cater to the proud look. Here in the world, we tolerate, listen to, and even believe the lying tongue. And here in the world, when men shed innocent blood as murderers, we pay to support them while they live behind bars until they can get out on parole. God hates those hands that shed innocent blood. You know what? An abortionist. That's innocent blood. What possible defense does that baby inside of that womb have against a mother who doesn't want to keep it and a doctor who is willing to facilitate her in getting rid of it? The baby is defenseless. Now, you look at that baby wrong, touch that baby in the wrong way, say the wrong thing, or abuse that child in any way after it's born, they'll lock you up. But you kill it before it can speak or be seen, and it's perfectly legitimate. Pay your little fee and go to the house. God hates hands that shed innocent blood. God hated Manasseh for what he did. Manasseh shed innocent blood. Now, Manasseh ended up on the right side with God, but he had to repent. In 2 Kings chapter 24, we'll just read this real quickly. 2 Kings chapter 24. 2 Kings chapter 24, look at verses 3 and 4. The Bible says, surely at the commandment of the Lord came this upon Judah to remove them out of his sight for the sins of Manasseh according to all that he did. 2 Kings 24, 4. And also for the innocent blood that he shed, for he filled Jerusalem with innocent blood, which the Lord would not pardon. Now, one of the things he did to shed innocent blood is he burned children in fire, according to 2 Chronicles 33:6. How do you like that? Well, that sounds very much like what's going on in the abortion clinics today. And with other things that are going on with children after they're born as well by people that are abusing them and torturing them and everything else that's bad under the sun, including innocent people that are killed by murderers and suicide bombers and others. I didn't mean to exclude anybody that I didn't include in the list. All right, the Lord hates a heart that deviseth wicked imaginations. He hates that. And you know, with the images that are portrayed in television, cable, movies, there are all kinds of wicked imaginations that are being portrayed in front of your eyes to put images in your head to allow your heart to cook up these wicked imaginations. But let me tell you something. God wiped out an entire world full of people because of bad imaginations. In Genesis chapter 6, verse 5, we find the cause for Noah's flood. God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And you know what? He didn't love that. He wiped out the entire earth except for Noah and his family and a pair of every animal and seven pairs of the clean animals. How about that? And you know what he found after the flood in Genesis chapter 8, verse 21? The imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. That's what he said. And that's the condition now. And God hates that. That's why he gave you the weapons of warfare in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 through 5. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 through 5, God gave you weapons of warfare that are not carnal, so you could pull down strongholds and cast down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. Why? Because he hates that stuff. And we just pipe it in, man. Seven things the Lord hates: a proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, and then this: feet that be swift in running to mischief. Feet that be swift in running to mischief. That's in verse 18 of Proverbs chapter 6. Well, what's that? Well, feet that be swift in running to mischief, it tells you as a human being before you get saved that you are prone to go on the wrong path, and you're prone to do it swiftly. The broad way. Look in Romans chapter 3, verse 15, if you can get there as quick as I have. I know in a message like this, when I'm giving you cross references, I'm hoping that when I do them, you can get there, but I know that I'm going so fast or you're driving and can't get there. You know what I'm hoping is that you just recognize the authority is from the Word of God and I didn't make it up in my mind. In Romans chapter 3, verse 15, the Bible says, their feet are swift to shed blood. And he's talking about us in the human race. Feet that be swift and running to mischief. That's a guy that won't stop to think about what he's doing before he gets into it, and he'll join up with a crowd. You remember the mob riots? When Jesus Christ went to the cross, and they said, what should we do with him? And they said, crucify him. The chief priests and the elders and the scribes had stirred up the whole people to holler that thing. Pilate buckled under the pressure of mob rule. I've seen it for myself. I was in Chattanooga, Tennessee in 1969 when riots broke out in that city. Downtown was destroyed and looted. Lumber mills were burned. I saw three or four fires going on every night from Missionary Ridge looking back toward Lookout Mountain and Signal Mountain. Finally, the National Guard had to come in with armored personnel carriers. I could hear the drone of those armored personnel carriers through the night as they paroled and patrolled the neighborhoods and imposed a curfew to get everybody off the street until the thing would calm down. You know what that was? That was feet that were swift in running to mischief. You know what else he hates? He hates a false witness that speaketh lies in Proverbs chapter 6, verse 19. Because the Bible says, thou shalt not bear false witness. And the media does. And the politicians do. And executives do. And modern Bibles do. And modernist preachers do. Modernist preachers that deny the virgin birth, the bodily, physical resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, the literal, visible, physical return of the Lord Jesus Christ to this earth to take up the throne of David and have a 1,000-year reign. That deny the blood atonement of the Lord Jesus Christ, that deny the deity of Jesus Christ. These preachers are liars. And I'm going to tell you something. When it comes to liars, even society hates liars. You take right now these sports figures that have lied about gambling or steroids, and they lied about it vehemently. Once they were discovered to be lying, then everybody just kind of turned off on them and said, well, they're not the heroes anymore. They don't want to recognize them as heroes anymore. They were found out, and they just write them off. They may feel sorry for them. They just write them off. They don't want anything to do with them. Why? Because they don't like false witnesses that speak lies. Well, God hates that. So don't be any of that. And then he hates this, he that soweth discord among brethren. The seventh thing, which is down in verse 19 in Proverbs chapter 6. He that soweth discord among brethren. I got a telephone call from a young lady last night, and she spoke with me in detail about her plight. When she was in Jubilee, I had the opportunity to preach there regularly on Thursday mornings, taught her a lot about the Bible, trying to help her get things together. I'm amazed at what God did to give this young lady a sound mind. Well, she's gone now to be in a church, and they're using a modern Bible, the New American Standard Version, and I'm shocked. I mean, I shouldn't be, but I am, of the number of people that are shoving modern Bibles down her throat, telling her, you don't want to read that King James Bible, you want to read this modern Bible, and they're mercilessly tearing down the people that believe the King James Bible. And the trouble is, God used the King James Bible and preaching and teaching out of that book to take this woman who honestly was very paranoid and give her the sound mind that God promised her in 2 Timothy chapter 1, 7. And now, having accomplished that, these do-gooders in her church are sowing discord and trying to separate her from the very book that gave her salvation and gave her a sound mind. You know what? God hates that. Not only that, he hates church splitters and those that will be very sweet and very kind to get up a group to try to force a group out of the church so they can get things running their way. Now, these people may come to you and be the sweetest speaking people in the church, but when they are there to divide the church or to divide somebody away from the book that God's given them, that has given them the sound mind that they need, something wrong with that, and God hates it. So now you've seen something that maybe you hadn't seen before, but listen to what the Bible said, not what you've been told before, and look at it for yourself. God hates these seven things. And I don't mean to be the bearer of bad news, but listen, you know in your own life you can't love right till you know what to hate. You got to hate the right things so you can love the right things. Well, I hope it's been a help to you. I really do.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Rand Morgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.